welcome to Southern Fried Spooky, the podcast home of all things Southern Spooky, and this week, very haunted.
Very haunted.
Oh yes, very. I'm your Carolina girl, Heather.
And I'm your Florida man, Tony.
We'd like to invite you to our virtual haunted house to socialize in the parlor with sweet tea and small sandwiches.
Now I'm suddenly envisioning, like, the original, like, ghost noises from the 70s Scooby-Doo. Whee!
Or the attempts of our ghosts in Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
Which means, please, find our various social media outlets and leave us some likes, comments, and stars. Yep. You know the drill.
Do the thing.
Do the thing. This week, we're talking about a historic haunting in Georgia in a little town called
Pascagoula.
Serenity.
No.
We've done that one.
Oh.
Serenity.
Serenity. I don't think I've ever heard of this.
Well, neither had I until recently. Georgia, for those of you unaware, is a beautiful state,
mm-hmm.
with a rich history as a penal colony and its association with the peach.
Yep.
And, of course, Southern hospitality. However, there's an undeniably dark side to Georgia. Georgia, like most of the South, is peppered with hauntings, ghost stories throughout the state. Savannah alone boasts quite a few different stories and sightings.
Oh, no. I've been there a few times. You've been there a few times.
I love it. It's beautiful.
We both went once.
Oh, yeah. It's a great place.
And then we ate at that pirate restaurant.
The pirate house.
And then the woman was telling us about the ghosties there.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And I'm hoping to cover that in more depth.
Yeah.
However, we're not going to do Savannah just now. We're just mentioning it with great fervor, apparently. Mm-hmm. However, there's a particular story, terrifying and allegedly true, tale called the Serenity Haunting.
Okay. Again, never heard of it, so...
The setting is the town of Serenity, as I've mentioned several times, yep. Georgia, and the story involves the family for whom the town was named. There was a family who lived on a farm on the outskirts of the area around the late 1800s, so about 1870, before the town was even founded, and they were the Serenity family.
I'm kind of hoping that Serenity was actually a surname and not a given name. Hi, I'm Serenity Stan. How's it going?
Alan Powell Serenity lived with his family in a fine two-story farmhouse in Serenity. I wonder if he moved there knowing that, hey, this town is named for me.
Right.
A small hamlet he founded about 60 miles from Savannah.
Alas, poor York. I knew him. Well...
The sawmill operator was, in the words of a contemporary journalist, a gentleman well-to-do in the world and is universally regarded as one of the most honorable citizens in the country.
You, sir, are a gentleman and a scholar. I raise a glass of cognac to you.
Wow. Mr. Serenity also owned another home in a different town. I'm not sure if that was common back then to have several... Actually, I guess
well
it was.
Well-to-do, it kind of was.
Yeah, yeah. So by all accounts, there's...
Well, 1800s, yeah. If you had enough money, yeah. The more you owned, the more you were known. I know that didn't rhyme, but still.
It kind of did.
But yeah, it's like nowadays, you're like, oh, I have all this grandiose crap. And people were like, yeah, show off.
Or it's you're drowning in property taxes.
Yep.
Anyway, by all accounts, the Serenity home was a beautiful farmhouse. Mm. I put extra emphasis on that for some reason.
Beautiful.
I am fond of farmhouses. But something happened that shook the family to its very core. Like an apple. Something wicked came knocking at the door. Or maybe it had been there all along.
So are you saying this way it comes?
Absolutely.
Okay.
The trouble began, the trouble, it sounds like the Irish, the troubles, began in late October 1872.
Mm-hmm.
One evening, the Serenities were alarmed to see sticks of wood just flying into the house and falling on the floor. From, quote, from directions they could tell nothing about and without any human agency they could see or find.
Wow.
A fancy way of saying, it came out of nowhere. Stranger still, the room in which the wood was falling had all the windows and doors closed.
So you're telling me that pieces of wood magically fell into the house?
Yes. That's what they say. The doors and windows would slam shut and fling themselves open with no apparent reason or cause.
Oof.
bitterly cold drafts seemed to manifest out of just nowhere. The family was shaken, but refused to let something as small as cold air and slamming windows drive them from their beautiful home and property. And the activity escalated, as objects were hurled from shelves. All the bottles, vases, and glassware in the house were swept by invisible forces and shattered on the floor.
It was a cat.
Yeah.
It's leaving presents, and like it's dropping stuff in the floor and knocking things off shelves. It's the ghost of a damn cat.
Or it's one of the neurotic cats that you don't even know you have because they hide all the time. Now, while this was happening, Mr. Cerency had the foresight to request a servant to move bottles of kerosene oil out into the front yard.
That's probably wise, sir.
Yeah.
Probably wise.
No sooner had the man set them down, one of the bottles flew back into the house, fell into the front room, and it said scattering the contents, but I'm going to assume that means spill.
Well, it's kerosene. It's a liquid. It's definitely being spilled.
And all of this continued until sunrise, when suddenly it ceased. The house was a shambles of broken glass and crockery, fragments of wood littering the floor. In a nightmarish and cinematic manner, the clock would strike 13 while the hands spun madly. So, like the clock at the Haunted Mansion.
So, I'm envisioning everything at the Haunted Mansion happening at these people's house.
Yeah, like a little bit that, a little bit poltergeist. It gets worse.
Wow.
Mealtime was a particular trial.
Yeah.
During dinner, their plates would just end up in their laps or thrown against the wall of the room or even on the floor. Their utensils weren't safe. They were bending or twisting by some unseen force while in their hands. So again, like in Poltergeist, when the forks are like all twisted funny.
Yeah.
Chairs, shoes, and items of clothing flew through the house.
Okay, so now I'm envisioning just a bunch of people sitting around a table, and some guy goes to take a bite, and the fork just bends, and he's just like...
Spoon.
The plate goes flying, and he just kind of gives like this like deflated look of,
I'll just hold my bread carefully.
He just kind of picks up a chicken leg and starts eating it.
And hoping for the best. A bunch of clothes hooks somehow escaped a locked bureau drawer and fell on the floor without the drawer even being open.
No wire hangers.
Yeah, something like that. It was always worst at night. The Cerencys noted pairs of evil, beady red eyes kind of lurking about their property, watching as they tried to go about their lives.
Oh, I figured it out.
Oh?
It's Willem Dafoe.
Does he have red, beady eyes?
I mean, I imagine he can. It's Willem Dafoe.
Oh, of course. Well, he's been everything from Jesus to the devil and a fish.
Yep.
There was a firefight! Okay, never got quite that bad. But the family grew increasingly hungry, weary, and under constant stress from this torment.
That would almost be duress.
Yeah, I mean, I think they use this in, like, prison colonies. Sleep deprivation and all your food just ends up on the floor. It's like, well... Soon after this, the Cerencys and several guests, though I don't know why they're having guests over, bravely sat down to dinner. An ear of corn fell from the ceiling... landed on the floor with such force that the little kernels just scattered throughout the room.
Now, see, when you said that before you finished it, I imagined an ear of corn, like, falling and, like, sticking into the table circa a knife. So it's just like...
Guess we're having popcorn for dinner. Later in the day, another ear of corn fell in another room. I mean, that's just so weirdly specific.
That's mean. The ghosts are like, you look hungry. Here. Here.
And while some of the guests were standing in the front room, a mirror smashed into fragments in the center of the room. Although all the men were watching closely every item in the room, nobody saw anything move until after the mirror broke.
Wow.
So...
time to hit the old dusty trail!
Yep. Been here, seen it, going home. The family did report all of these...
I'm going back to my haunted house.
Right?
Going back to my house where there are no ghosts.
No ears of corn manifesting on the table. Yeah, fortunately, I think for the most part, the ghosts didn't follow any of the visitors home. So, again, for like the third time, they did report the wild events to authorities.
But there's room for one more.
of course, again, what could the authorities do?
Yeah.
And at first, the reports were dismissed as exaggerated. And in most of our stories, we find out that, yeah, the stories were exaggerated. And I don't know how we can confirm that now, because even the journalists would get in on it back then.
Yeah.
Journalists and the curious witnessed and documented these and many other eerie events, according to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution articles. By which I mean the newspaper.
Right.
I just realized that sounded very formal. And then curious thrill seekers started to appear. People who wanted to see if it was all real and experience the poltergeist themselves.
Pre-ghost hunters, ghost hunters?
Yes. I mean, these people should have charged admission.
Yeah.
The Macon and Brunswick Railroad had to add an extra train to handle all the eager would-be paranormal sleuths. Yes, that many people were going to town.
Oh my God, like, and this is just a family home.
Yeah, and suddenly it becomes, like, paranormal tourism.
Yeah.
Right.
There's somebody here. Hold on. No, you can't come in. No, this is my home!
Why are there all these people in my yard?
Ma!
Within 3 days after the haunting began, some 500 people had visited the home.
Whoa.
Scientific people, spiritualists, mediums, clergy. And they all had a theory about the origin of the home's violent possession.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps, some thought, Mr. Cerency was a secret devil worshiper. Because, of course. Or the family were all very psychic, and the ghosts were desperate to seek their help and were frustrated because the family couldn't help them.
So they threw food at each other.
Yeah. Meanwhile...
It was Slimer.
No, he would have eaten it.
Yeah, true.
Meanwhile, the ghosts... Or, yeah, we don't know. Plural?
Ghost,
one,
ghosts.
They continued to dial up the level of violence in the house. The youngest daughter was the favorite target. In the middle of the night, they would sort of wrap her in the sheets and lift her up out of the bed, pull her hair, and flip her bed over sideways. This is starting to sound like Kate the Bell Witch a little
bit. Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, are we talking like a level of violence, or are we talking about misbehaving?
Oh, there's a point where it crosses that line, definitely. But we'll get to that in a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know who the children were. I couldn't quite find that, so I don't know if this is... If Clementine is the youngest or not, it just mentions that she is a teenage daughter.
Yeah.
She was in the front yard watching for the lights of the, you know, the train that they added more of. And instead, she saw an object in the form of a man. Now, I don't know if that means a man or something that sort of looked humanoid approaching her. Not knowing who or what it was, she hurried back into the house. And then when she reached the front steps, she heard something come whizzing through the air and fall on the ground right next to her. Clementine, of course, looked in the direction from whence the thing was hurled, where she had seen the apparition, but it wasn't there. She was suddenly then surrounded by more things falling around her in rapid succession. And although they all came quite close to her, nothing quite hit her. She went inside the house, and everyone could hear the noise of brick bats, bottles, and stones falling in the yard and against that end of the house. The men present went outside and made a thorough search of the grounds, looking for whoever has a small trebuchet, apparently. But even though even though the objects kept falling all around them, no one was anywhere in the vicinity.
It's a hailstorm.
Things just showed up, apparently.
A hailstorm of bottles and cups and... I think that's a penguin.
Out of curiosity, I should have looked this up. Do you know what a brick bat is?
A brick bat?
Yes, it's one word.
No, I have no idea.
I don't know either. We need to look that
up. Yeah, that needs to be a thing. I don't think I've ever heard that term before, brick
bat. I have before, but it was out of context. I don't know what it meant.
I'll bust you in the head with a brick bat.
A what? Right. That would be very heavy. It was in, like, in that primeval form of baseball with stones, and they made their bats out of brick. I don't know.
Okay, so, a piece of brick typically used as a weapon.
Okay, so, it is what it sounds like. Fancy that. So, anyway, where was I? Oh.
Apparently, brick bat is slang for an unkind or unfavorable remark, So if you were to, like, backhanded remark somebody, that would be a brickbat remark.
Yeah, well, I don't think that's a solid thing that could be hurled.
No. Mm-hmm.
But it's good to
Unless
know.
They were hurling insults. You suck!
So the men were looking, and things are falling all around them that they couldn't see, you know, where they were coming from. Then the disturbances, of course, moved inside the house, with the now familiar routine of books and glasses and knives and crockery, etc., flying through the air and scattering themselves all over the floor.
Wow.
You can only imagine what a mess this would make. It's like having an unhinged toddler that you can't put into timeout anywhere.
Well, that's like when you get to... You'll hear it a lot in Native culture. When something happens like that, most indigenous people are just like, hey! Hey! Because, of course, there's a spirituality thing. So if something falls, the first thing an indigenous person is going to do is, like, clean it up!
White people, we just kind of look around going, did you see that?
Everybody has their own reactions. I mean, you know, not a lot, but most darker-complected people, they don't like ghosts.
Yeah.
Most white people are very puzzled and off-put by ghosts. Most indigenous are like, no! No! They treat it like it's a cat or a dog.
Yeah, I do enjoy watching the various paranormal shows, and yeah, it does seem that typically the black reaction is,
oh, hell no.
I'm out of here. And I can't say as I blame them.
Yeah.
But it's funny how it is almost universal. Like, yep, well, maybe it's not, I, but...
Well, you get to the... You range from the, oh, hell no. And then you have the white of, I'm not sure I like this. And then the red, as you would say, to, okay, y'all need to stop.
Right? And that is weird, because we have seen that in some of the paranormal videos mm-hmm. we've watched, where you can definitely see an indigenous man, like, yelling at whatever's lurking in his yard. It's like, you need to go away. And I'm just like, oh, wow.
Yep.
Did you notice that? I mean, you actually lived on a reservation. Were you privy to that yes. happening?
Only one time did the old man go, I'm not going in there.
So he didn't yell at the ghost that lived in your house. He just didn't want to...
He sternly, like a grandfather would, he delivered the stern talking to.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all need to stop. Now.
Interesting.
Yep.
Well, now that we've forayed through what might be considered racial stereotypes, I'd be interested to see if other people have a different experience
yeah,
with this.
Yeah, like, that's it's to me, it's very interesting that... I don't want to even see it racial, more like ethnically, I
cultural.
Guess. Cultural. Yeah, like a cultural kind of... There's... Each kind of culture reacts to ghosts differently. Like, within the Arabic and stuff like that, like, when something happens like that, the first thing they do is break into prayer.
Yeah, which we've also seen yeah, on the like, various I mean, ghost there, hunting things.
Which, and I get that. It's...
Or the one that I find fascinating is, like, in China, where they just start they insulting
cuss,
the ghosts.
They cuss at it because it's supposed to drive them away.
Like, just being extra rude, okay.
Yeah, when you're extra rude to a ghost, they're supposed to go away.
Interesting approach.
Yep, and then you have the white reaction. Let me get into Zach Bagans here for a second.
Oh, no. Okay.
Complete douchebag.
Do you have opinions about this, I see.
I do, and that's where I will leave it. But anyway, go ahead. I mean, it's. I'd much rather be stern with the ghost, but fair. Stern but fair. I consider myself a benevolent-ish dictator. So
human host.
but some people's reactions are just yeah,
a little over the top.
Yeah.
With provoking or screaming or, you know, whatever.
Yep.
My favorite is when you talk about, I can't remember, I'm sure we've mentioned it on here before, where you had the ghost who appeared behind you in the bathroom.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you'd be standing there, you know.
Well, okay, would you say you followed more the typically white path or the more indigenous? Because you didn't freak out.
It was more the indigenous. Oh, no. Internally, I was freaking the hell out. But I'm just standing there, shall we say, water gun in hand, ready to fire. And all of a sudden I just hear, well, hello.
That's the worst time to have a friendly greeting.
From right behind me.
Oh, yeah.
And needless to say, the water gun stopped squirting.
Okay.
I'm trying to keep it clean.
I understand. I appreciate that. You did manage to finish.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then leave. I eventually was just like, could you not do that in the bathroom? And from behind me, I heard, I'm sorry.
Well, at least she was polite.
And that was it. But I think what got me the most was the fact that had it been like the Addams Family house that spoke to you in like this guttural, get out, I would have been like, okay, I'm fine with that. But we're talking about a young-sounding female from right behind me. Not only was I freaked out in a kind of ghosty level, I was also freaked out as in, who is this girl in my house? Kind
of literal. Right? Especially in private space.
Yeah.
Well, after a few days of bombardment...
Back to the story!
Yes, indeed. Bombardment. I can speak. Really, I can. Mrs. Serency and Clementine went to stay with friends who lived about 2 miles away. However, as soon as they arrived, the supernatural mayhem simultaneously ceased at the Serency home and started to happen at the Patterson's home. And after a few hours of this, Mrs. Serency, not wishing to see all of her neighbor's household items destroyed, conceded defeat and went back home. Now, wow. Clementine stayed with the Pattersons, but whatever it was seemed to follow Mrs. Serency. As soon as she got home, pandemonium broke out afresh and stopped at the Patterson home.
Wow.
It's been noted, albeit I couldn't find directly, just it has been said that this thing seemed to focus on Mrs. Serency. But honestly, that's the first time I'd, you know, encountered her, so yeah. I couldn't say. Both she and her husband were staunch materialists.
Which means they like their crap.
Well, I mean, he has two houses, one of which is slowly being destroyed.
Right.
With no interest or belief in spiritualism.
Bet you that changed after that.
Well, and this is also when spiritualism was a big deal. People had their seances and really enjoyed the stuff. But they, as well as all the other witnesses to the activity, had no idea what was going on, how, or why. One day, some 6 or 7 visitors sat in the front room. This one almost was kind of funny. A large pig just walked in the door, trotted to the middle of the room. Needless to say, this was a bit of a conversation stopper. After a moment of humans and hogs staring silently at each other, the creature just sauntered into the adjoining room. At this point, people are just like, okay, whatever. So they get up and they follow it.
Yeah.
And as they stared at the pig, he suddenly vanished. Just poof, no more bacon.
Wow.
Yeah, and apparently it was seen by several people, so I don't know if they all reported it or if it was corroborated, but, you know, pig walks in.
Clop, 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 clop. Babe, get out! Get out! Not right now, get out! I'll give you later. Get out!
That'll do, pig. So the paranormal persecution of the Serencies went on for months. And eventually, the family felt they could endure no more of the nervous strain and the fears for their actual physical safety, not to mention the cost of constantly having to refurbish their home. I imagine they stopped, like, trying to replace everything and just kept the bare minimum, but...
Mm-hmm.
So they started to talk quietly of moving to the other farmhouse that they owned. They loved their farm, but their existence there had just become miserable, untenable. And it would seem the ghosts would miss them.
Oh.
This is where things get kind of violent. The day their decision was made to move, a fireplace poker, though in one story it was mentioned it was the andiron.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure which, was lifted out of its resting place, floated down the hallway, like it does, and struck one of the boys on the head repeatedly. The younger brother helplessly watched as the poker / andiron then retreated back to its original place without a peep, leaving the other boy bleeding and vaguely unconscious, I think, on the floor. There were a couple of sources on this one.
So that's like the ghost of a really old man. He's like, get off my lawn!
Yeah, but with an iron tool.
Yeah, well, use what you got, right?
You know, pokers are frequently murder weapons.
Oh, yeah.
So this was pretty dangerous. I found
it's
a couple of versions.
It's supposed to be a fire poker, not a people poker. Good lord.
Well, at that point, that was definitely enough. I don't know if they, you know, saw a doctor, or if they just tended to him at home. But the next day, I mean, they waited that long. Well, the family then fled.
1870s, probably like a trail barber or something like that.
Maybe.
Especially if they were on a farm.
Yeah, and as this was probably before there was actually a town nearby. I don't know. There was no note of it in my careful research.
Yeah.
But they fled to their second home, taking only their clothes. But then again, they have two houses, so, you know. Yeah. Okay, here again, this is where the sources sort of divide on one hand.
Okay.
For a week or so, they enjoyed their longed-for peace and quiet. And then the manifestation started up again, even stronger, as if angered by the attempt to elude them. There are other sources that say that the haunting did follow, but far less fiercely, like it was dialed way down.
No.
I don't know which one it is. Because, again, two different sources saying different things.
Yeah.
Years later, Herschel Tillman, I don't know who this is, a man who had known Alan Serency personally, told a reporter, "That place was possessed by something evil." He added, "That thing haunted old man Serency until the day he died in 1877. But when he was buried, the haunting stopped."
Hmm.
The property remained abandoned for years. No doubt it's terrible reputation ensuring its solitude. I'm sure that it had visitors, but nobody wanted to live there. As we said, Mr. Serency died in 1877. In 1925, so like 50 years later, the house somehow caught fire and burned down. Surprisingly, or maybe not, the famous Serency ghosts aren't the only haunting in town. Another paranormal occurrence is the Serency spook light. I've mentioned the train.
Yeah.
A yellow ball of light is seen hovering over the Serency train tracks. The ghostly light has been spotted since the early 1900s, and it's still seen today. Bored teenagers and paranormal investigators, who are probably not bored, go searching for the famous light, and some actually see it.
Have you ever been on an investigation? It's boring.
Well, I know that they tend to have to edit down for real shows.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, hours and hours and hours of nothing. No, I've not ever gone, actually.
Yeah, it's seriously, I've been on many of them.
Like the Shadow Line one.
And 99% of them, just boring.
That's kind of disappointing. You would think they would be more fun.
Yeah.
So, we don't know. I don't think the Serency spook light has anything to do with the Serency house.
But you never know.
Yeah, you don't know. But, so it does have that.
Yeah.
So, y'all, you've spent another half hour or so.
Yep.
Of your life dodging dishes and listening to us spill the spiritualist tea.
Hmm.
Please feel free to fling some cash towards our Patreon.
Hmm.
Or some likes and comments on Facebook.
Indeed.
We'd also appreciate 5-star reviews on your podcast platform of your choosing.
Indeed.
Join us next week for whatever we do then, which I think will be bunnies for Easter.
Bunnies for Easter.
I think so.
Yep, here it comes.
Hopping down the forest trail?
Yes, yes, yes.
In the meantime, I'm your Carolina girl, Heather.
Peter Rabbit would be wise to stay out of old man Gregor's farm. I'm your Florida man, Tony.
And we are Southern Fried
Spooky.
Catch up here.
Yep.
Bye, y'all.
Bye, y'all.
You're not feeling it today, are you?
No, I'm just thinking about it. Like, you know, that kind of haunting nowadays would gain so much traction online that almost be considered very fake.
Probably.
It's like there's way too much crap happening.
Very true.
Yep.